I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know the future, man, you know?
It is. This is a Talisman. And you're listening to Reggae Up Yourself podcast with the future, man.
Play out some good, good, good reggae music. Some sweet, sweet, sweet reggae music.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Reggae Up Yourself podcast with me, your host, the future man. And you know we only bring legend and super talented people to the table every week, and this week we got no other than Talisman. How you doing?
Cool. Big up. Cool. Yeah, give thanks and praise.
Yeah man, welcome. You know what, the first thing I'm gonna do is get you guys to introduce yourself, because we have two members of the band today. So I'll let you introduce yourself.
Well, I'm on is Devon Otieno, lead singer and rhythm guitarist.
All right.
And I'm Denison, bass player.
The bassy. Yeah, man. So, Talisman is a very big and well-known band, not only in the city of Bristol, but around the world. I see you guys doing a lot of great things. How long has Talisman been around for?
Well, Talisman started back in 1977.
Wow.
Yes, 1977 was the day it was born, really, and we went for a few years, and then as the way of all bands, some bands anyway, we go through a phase and we do good things, and then due to disillusionment or difficulties in personnel, whatever, the band just faded off.
Yes. Okay.
So we had everybody went them individual way and do them own thing. For me myself, I had a solo career for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Other people did form bands, and you know, my brethren Denison will tell you what he did.
Yes.
And the band went on until I think it was 2011.
Yeah.
2011, when a brother called Mike Darby, who was doing a project to put together all of the Bristol music through the 70s up to the 80s and probably a little bit of the 90s as well. So obviously we had to be included in that.
Yeah.
He did like the band anyway, so he called me and he said this is what he's doing. Would we be involved? And we said yes. And when he finished the project, he said to us, why don't you do a show to launch a project? And we said, yeah, all right. And we do that first show.
Yeah.
And that was our Back on the Road show. Okay. That was after 25 years.
So it was first show after 25 years.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, what was the mood like, you know, putting the old band? Was every member from the original band in that first show?
Yeah, apart from one.
Okay.
Apart from the drummer.
Yeah.
We had him. He came. He came to the rehearsal.
Oh, well, he came to one rehearsal. He came to one rehearsal,
yeah.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't do the show.
I don't know
now why it is he decided that he didn't want to do the show.
Yeah.
But that's the way it went. And here we are now, 2017.
Still
but
going strong.
That was a very quick, you know, record of what happened to the Talisman. In between, there's lots to talk about. So
yeah. So how many members are there?
there's two core members. There's just me and Devon.
Original members from the beginning?
Just the two of we right now.
Okay.
And we, about 2 years ago, we recruited a young lead guitarist.
Okay.
So he's like just soaking in to be a member.
Yeah.
But it's just the two of we still.
Okay.
Still beating it.
From 1977 till now, you know.
From 1977 till 2017. Mm-hmm. That was before I was born.
that just goes to show.
Yeah, I didn't come on earth until 1980. Yeah. So, I mean, great respect for that, man. You know what I mean? To be going for so long.
Well,
man,
I think that's what the music is about. It's not just a passion or desire. It's especially with the young people today, you know, yeah. Pick up and let go.
Yeah.
If you have the passion, when they get to our age, if they're still doing it, then good luck to them. Some people might make a bag of money. We don't make the bag of money yet, but at least we still have the passion.
Yeah,
People in Bristol are better players than me.
Yeah.
You know, but they let it go.
Yeah.
Long time. So, you know, it's got to be something why we keep on pursuing this thing, you know, because it's more than just to make a money.
I think with some musicians anyway, music is a calling, and it might sound like a bit of a cliche to say that, right?
Yes.
But with any kind of vocation, you get people who they do it because they can or because they get drafted into it, and then there's the other set of people now is just that for them.
Yes.
Win or lose is just that for them, and yes. I think you could apply that to us.
Yeah.
Because from 1977 till now, we now make no money. There must be some other reason why there's still that drive to do it.
Yeah.
I think it's a love for what you do as well, isn't it?
Yeah. You can also see maybe back in the African days where you used to have your dancers, your storyteller, your musician.
Yeah.
So maybe could that be a part of our legend then,
yes.
You know, where we're just following, just to tell a story. I remember back in the Caribbean, once bedtime, 9 o'clock was bedtime, so we go to the standpipe, wash your feet,
yes,
and get ready for bed. There was always one little youth for maybe 1 hour used to tell story. Where you get them kind of story from, I don't know.
But maybe
9, 10, 12 of we used to sit down and just listen to this youth.
Yeah.
So maybe storytelling.
Yeah.
Music, poetry, all them kind of things, it's in our DNA.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why we pursue that.
True.
You know,
true.
So you know, it's just looking into it that way.
So I know I the first time I saw you guys play was in Newport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you know, I mean, the energy was heavy. The crowd was bouncing, and I was like, "Whoa, these guys are heavy." Because I've heard about you for a long time, but never actually seen you perform live. I've heard lots of your songs and stuff, but never really seen you before. And the energy was heavy, so that's also show why you guys been going so long as well. It's about the quality of the music that you are providing people with as well, because obviously there was loads of people bouncing around, and a lot of these people was at my age, which means this band been together before me and a lot of the crowd was born. Yeah,
for real.
So it show real quality, you
know,
really.
My grandfathers know you.
So you know what I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so well. So you guys have been in the UK for a long time. Were you born in Jamaica or the UK?
Well, I hail from Jamaica.
Yeah.
And I my parents came here in the 50s, like with a lot of other, during that phase, we call it the Windrush phase, you know.
Yes.
And they sent for me after a few years. I came over when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
You know. Went through the English schooling system. And went through the job market.
Yeah.
Until I end up getting the call for music and joining the band, and you know, never look back as the saying goes. Yeah.
So have you got any memories of being a youth in Jamaica? Like, where exactly in Jamaica was that?
Well, I hail from East Kingston.
Okay.
Although I was born in Yalas. Okay. It's a St. Thomas man, you know.
Okay.
And where the Obia man them come from. Yeah, so that's where my people come from, St. Thomas. But yeah. I grew up in Kingston.
Okay.
I think you will know the story as well. At the time when our parents were emigrating to the UK and America and Canada and in place, some of them were able to take children with them, but others they had to leave behind with granny and auntie and so on and so on.
Yes.
So I was one of those that got left behind with grandmother.
Okay.
And so when it was my time to come, it was about 1969 that I actually come to England and go through the schooling system.
Oh wow, that's a long time, man. So it's a different world today than what it was back in those days, I'm sure.
You wanna know. But the thing is, they have a saying, right, that after about 7 or 8, you've already gathered the things that's gonna make you the man that you're gonna be.
Yeah.
Right. So when I arrived in the UK at 12 years old.
Yes.
Although it's still a young age.
Yes.
All the things that was gonna make me the person I am was already gone into me from Jamaica.
True.
You know, so I brought that with me.
Yes. But
in the intervening period now, from 12 years old up to 30 and going on to 50, and now I'm in my 60s.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, it's a bit of a thing to say that out loud still.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. If you didn't say that, I wouldn't put you quite there yet. Yeah, but
you know, just a little anecdote. One day I was working in a factory, a laundry run by St. Werburgh's in the local area.
Yes.
And I was working alongside an Asian man.
Yes.
And you know, you get talking and they want to know where you come from, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So he asked me, I come from Jamaica. He say, how long you been here now? I'm a calculate. I say, 30 years.
Yes.
The man said to me, you's not a Jamaican anymore. and I was vexed.
Yeah.
The initial reaction was vexed. I say, no, you can't say anything. He's a Jamaican, brother.
Yes.
But you see, the night when I went home,
yeah,
and I sit down and I go back and look at what he said and just the whole context and open it out and look at it.
Yes.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Right? In one sense, he's right.
Yeah.
Because after you spend a certain amount of time away from your culture.
Yeah.
Right? And you spend that time in a different culture, especially if you're coming from a young age. And 12 is still kind of young. You're still
open to
being influenced.
That's true, yeah.
You eat the food. You have pressure from inside your house, from your parents to speak English.
Yeah.
You have pressure from outside to speak English because you have to be understood. You have pressure from the school because you have to be on all the way around.
Yes.
So gradually, you do lose some things.
That's true, know? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do lose some things. And I think the accent is the first thing to go because if you're being pressured to speak proper English,
yes,
then the accent is the first thing to go. And then, you know, you start to eat their foods, you get involved with the climate.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you don't mind sharp,
you forget
who you are.
Yeah, in
that sense, you'll always be a black man.
Yeah.
And you know, say you come from Jamaica.
Yes.
But in terms of what he was trying to say to me,
yes,
that I wasn't a Jamaican anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very tricky. You have to be careful, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I get that too, you know what I mean? Like people said to me sometimes, it's only when I'm singing that I actually sound Jamaican.
The accent
comes out. So I can understand that.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so where in Jamaica are you from then?
Well, I was born in Aruba, so that doesn't make...
Aruba! Oh, sorry, I apologize.
In Aruba, I live in Trinidad and Dominica, and I came here when I was 10 and a half. But the funny thing was now, I used to hear about Jamaica when I was in Dominica, so I was only there for about maybe 4 or 5 years. So I was wondering, how come my parents know about Jamaica? Okay, it's part of the Caribbean. But we used to hear that once you, higher education was in Jamaica. So once you got gone to the school system, you got a scholarship to go to Jamaica or Canada for further education. So Jamaica was that was the first time I heard Jamaica, around about 1959, something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
So we came here by a ocean liner. In 63, we set off from Dominica to come to England. On the way, stopping in different places like Portugal, Madeira, we ended up in Jamaica. So the next thing, the boat docked, and we're 3 miles out, and man row us to this. So I put foot on Jamaican soil, and I walked straight up.
Yes.
Maybe about 2-3 miles, got to this big gnarly tree. Somebody said it was middle of Kingston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as a 10-year-old, I said to myself, I'm going to come back here one day.
Yeah.
You know? I saw some man with their hair knot up, with some long gown. Said to my mother, who is this? She said, don't point. She said, there's Rastaman. I'm thinking, how my mother know about Rastaman? You know? So I just saw that seed in my head that I was going to be back there.
Yes.
When we went back in 87.
What, with Simba then?
Yeah, when we went back to, we went to Jamaica to do our first, one of our albums in Jamaica.
Yes.
The top musician ended up at that same gnarly tree. So my mind, from I saw that seed, so everything, all my brethren, all my friends then, in Jamaican, from school, I had a second mother. She used to treat me like her. Like her son, Mrs. Anderson, Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, from St. Paul's. And so soaking, eat up all my friends then.
Yeah.
Everybody. So that's the story.
So how many albums have you guys done this far?
Well, we've done 3 albums. Let me go back.
Yes.
Back in the day, in the first conception, we did 2 albums.
Yeah.
The first one was called Taking the Strain.
Yeah.
The second was called Jam Rock.
Okay.
And in between that, there were 2 singles, Dual Age and Run Come Girl.
Yeah.
Then after the breakup, if you wanna call it that.
Yes.
Well, we came back, and then technically speaking, a live album or studio album that we did was called Isurrection.
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 Do you want to just say something about where that name come from and why the album is called that?
The thinking behind it at that time was because we were always what you'd call rebel writers.
Yes.
You know? And the most of our songs are called message songs. There's a message in the music, as you know, as we have roots reggae, message in the music.
Yes.
And at that particular time, the songs that were going down on the album, I envisage as a kind of rebellion. We're back here, and the it's a play on the word insurrection.
Okay. Right?
Insurrection is what they crucified Jesus Christ for, because they couldn't crucify him for anything else. They brought the charge of insurrection. He was stirring up the people.
Yeah.
You know, telling them to rebel, blah blah blah, getting them to fight down the oppressors of the day.
Yeah.
So I saw that as the same thing that Talisman was doing now.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to put it as insurrection.
Yeah.
So because of my Rasta leanings then, you know, because yes. I pick up Rasta along the way yes. in terms of exploration and finding myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as Rasta is concerned, the I word is yeah. the one that carry the thing.
Okay.
So I just take the N out of it, put a little dash, and call it Isurrection.
All right, good, good one. I think that was very thoughtful. That's quite clever. Yeah, yeah, I'm with that.
So that's how that name came about.
Yeah.
And then we went on from there. That was 2015.
Yeah.
And then our latest 2017 January.
Yes.
We released an album called Don't Play With Fire.
Okay.
Which is, as I say, is only a few weeks old now on the street. Yeah. And yeah. you know, we have a single from it called Religion, and that's doing the rounds. It's getting some nice airplay.
I seen that single. It's really good, actually. The video. There's a video for it. I've seen it.
There was a single. There was a video on Reggaeville.
Reggaeville. Right. Yeah, I saw that on Reggaeville. That's really done really well on Reggaeville. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
it had quite a few hits.
Yeah.
Most hits we've ever had from one of our records. Yeah,
it is. It has been very
Mike Jenkins is the one who put the video together.
Oh yeah, Mike Jenkins is it's a very good 8sense Media.
Yes, that's
It's so very popular, very good video man. You know, what is one of the most memorable moment? I'm going to ask the same question to both of you. What's one of the most memorable moment for you being on tour?
Well, for me,
yeah,
a memorable moment is it wasn't particularly a pleasant one.
Okay.
Right. We were in Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And myself and the then keyboard player got into a scuffle.
Yeah.
Right. I don't remember what it was about now, but you know, in them kind of young ages, there anything can blow up and kick off. So
yes,
we got into a scuffle. And he was a tall brother.
Yeah.
When the two of us stand up, my head just catches you to him chin.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how tall he was. And we got into a scuffle and grab up one another and we start. And during the argument, it looked like it was dying down and I was kind of like finished. So I said to him, well, just let me go and make me go on my way.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe he was afraid that something was going to happen.
Yes.
But he wouldn't let me go. And I asked him 2-3 times, let me go. And he wouldn't let me go.
Yeah.
So with that, I take my head, meaning to book him in his forehead.
The head butt him in his forehead. Yeah.
Yes, but because of the difference in the height.
Yeah.
My head go in a mouth.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I'm my buck out, I'm 2 in front teeth.
Mm-mm.
And yeah, you know, it finished there after a little more scuffle.
Yeah.
But then the thing about it that I always remember was that we went to dinner afterwards, you know, all the band went to eat food.
Yeah.
And we was there, food share out and everything. And we was eating and I noticed that he wasn't eating.
Yeah.
And the reason was he couldn't eat because he did lose the two teeth in the front and it was difficult for him to eat. Yeah. I always carry that with me.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
And I didn't really go for him teeth. It was his head because it was a head, but I was supposed to give him because of the difference in the height, it went into his mouth. And yeah, for a couple of days, it was sad to see him not being able to enjoy his food and like that. So I did kind of regret.
It's the kind of thing that will stay with you for a long time.
Moment.
All right. I mean, I'm sure you was thinking about yours while we was listening to that.
It just reminded me back in the day. There used to be the my inspiration for playing music come from a brother called Ronald Green.
Yes.
Ronald Green, there used to be a whole heap of bands, maybe about 3-4 bands in St. Paul's.
Yes.
Late 60s, early 70s. And as a youth, you could only stand outside.
Yes.
And listen to them. So hearing man playing music and that, obviously you want to do that. So this brother, Ronald Green, was after my sister.
Yeah.
So Ronald used to come home with his guitar case, maybe after rehearsal,
yeah,
come after my sister,
yeah,
put down the guitar case, show my brother some little licks, yeah, on the guitar, which my brother couldn't get. Oh, yeah. Okay, he found it a bit difficult to get. Yes. So when the Bamboo Club was open, on the night, Ronald used to leave his guitar,
yeah,
and go to the Bamboo Club.
Yeah.
Come late night, I used to go downstairs, pick up the guitar,
yeah,
and find myself playing the licks that my brother couldn't, yeah, get, and then put it back nicely,
yeah,
so they couldn't get. So that was a fond memory, because if it wasn't for people like Ronald Green, who was then was in a band called the Lurks,
yeah,
they used to do the old circuit back in the day, like Italy, München or Munich,
yeah,
Israel, all the places. So yeah, so that, for me, I got another one, was playing with the Rolling Stones.
You was playing with
the Rolling Stones, oh, wow, at Bristol City Football Ground, around about 80-81.
That's massive.
Like that. Yeah, man. And
that was for me, it was
a big, yeah, stage. The stage was like the size of a football ground, because usually we run liquor stages.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so the next thing, they have this enormous stage. So I asked the man, can we stand anywhere? And he said, yeah. So we just spread out, you know, just,
yeah,
spread. The stage was like a mile long. So, and they were so grateful.
Yeah.
They were so grateful to us signing autograph, because we brought the woman, them little children.
Yeah.
And sign autograph. So that was a pleasant moment.
What was the feeling like? No, when you was told that you will be supporting the Rolling Stones, what was the feeling like at that moment when they told you that?
Because I think it was Blackroots. Blackroots turned down the offer.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Blackroots turned down the offer.
Wow.
And we pick up the offer. So again, it was because of somebody else's,
yeah,
misfortune.
But it's still,
we pick up, and we'll never forget that, because people our age, white people who saw,
yeah,
you know, especially when we come back on the road 5 years ago, people say, oh, I saw you at Ashton Gate with the Rolling Stones. So yeah, that was huge.
That's something major, yeah, that, man, for like, yeah, you know,
the thing is, it was our one and only stadium gig ever,
yeah,
from the time we put the band together till now,
yeah.
How much people Bristol City Football Stadium hold?
Thousands.
20,000 full.
Yeah. That's right? Amazing.
Our biggest audience, you know. And to this day, I think that is our claim to fame.
Yes.
That we
supported the Rolling Stones
at Bristol City Football Stadium.
Well, know? It doesn't get much bigger than that, unless you're Rolling Stone themselves.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
If anyone want to check out our touring schedule,
yes,
the webpage is www.talismanreggae.com. That will take you to the webpage. And then from there, you can pick up the Facebook page.
Okay, so you're on Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram? Also, yes, we're also on Twitter. We're not on Instagram yet.
Not yet, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, soon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Thank you guys so much for, you know what I mean, to giving up your busy schedule to give us an interview. It's been a real pleasure, you know what I mean? It's a real pleasure, and hopefully we can catch up again sometime in the future again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Well, future man, we're bound to.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, thanks again for listening to the Reggae Up Yourself podcast with me, your host, The Future Man. We'll see you again soon. And do remember, there's a brand new podcast out every Monday, yes? So stay tuned, subscribe and download and rate us. It's all for free with the best of the best in the business. Reggae Up Yourself.